invite you to turn to John chapter 13 and title our message tonight, Out into the Night for Eternity. As let's seek the Lord for needed help as we come to the preaching of this precious word. You pray the Lord might speak to your heart tonight, might speak to your soul. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence that makes the feast. Lord, in the words of another hymn, we would say, we turn unfilled to Thee again. We desire, Lord, to feast upon the living bread. And, O God, we pray that Thou would shut us in even to this very passage, translate us, as it were, into the upper room. O God, we pray that Thou would solemnize our hearts as we consider this very subject. Lord, our prayer would be that Thou would move by Thy Spirit from heart to heart and from pew to pew. We pray especially for those who are yet in the darkness of their sin. We pray, Lord, that the glorious light of the gospel might shine in, that they might be saved tonight. Saved for time and for eternity. O God, I pray for the infilling of Thy Spirit and the power. Thou would give us words from Thyself this evening. Lord, help us to rightly divide Thy truth. We ask, Lord, there would be signs following the preaching of Thy Word. Do, Lord, hear and answer prayer. Make it a night, Lord, to be remembered in the very annals of church history. A night to be remembered amongst the angels in heaven over sinners that hath repented. Hear our prayer, for we offer it in our Savior's precious name. Amen. The scene of the upper room is that which has succeeded in grabbing the imagination of many people. Painters have tried to picture what it may have looked like as the Savior was to meet with all His disciples for the last time before He went to the cross. It was a night in which was marked by many different things. It was when the Lord again showed something of His great humility by laying aside His garments and proceeded to wash His disciples' feet. He truly was the servant of man. But it was also the night in which the Lord was to expose the one who was to betray Him. And whilst the Lord could speak of happiness being the reward and the result of obedience to Him, He was well aware that not all of His disciples could be spoken of in that same category. And that is why you read in the words of verse 18, where He said, I speak not of you all. Within a matter of a few hours, the disciple by the name of Judas Iscariot will betray the blessed Son of God into the hands of those soldiers. And within hours He would seek to return the pieces of silver that He had received for His diabolical deeds. And within just a few hours, this would be the night in which was to see that man going to a suicide's grave and to his own place. Yet this was the night which was also marked by the tenderness of the Savior. And an opportunity given to Judas again to take heed to the Savior's warnings, to turn from his wicked way. This was a night of great surprise for the disciples, as the Lord spoke of one who should betray Him. Verse 22 says, then the disciples looked one upon another, doubting of whom He spake. There was alarm in their midst, as they considered that one was amongst them for 3.5 years, and yet he would turn his hand against the Lord and against the Savior. It's Mark, in his account, who brings out the element of surprise of the disciples in chapter 14, for it says there, "For they say unto him, Is it I?" And another said, "Is it I?" And though Judas had this plan hatched in his mind now for a long time, yet he was unsuspected by any of the other disciples. Judas succeeded in covering his sin from the others. But when we come to my text, men and women, young people, we read of Judas leaving the presence of the Savior to go to hell. And I trust and pray that that is not the experience of anyone in this meeting house tonight. For verse 30 says, "He then, having received the sup, went immediately out, and it was night." Let me show you something, first of all, of his experience. When we consider Judas, then we're thinking of one who was numbered amongst the 12. His experience was one of being in the presence of the Son of God and of the promised Savior of the world. You just stop and think of the privileges that he would have encountered. He was in the presence of the one who preached with power and with authority and not as the scribe. It was said of him, "Never man spake like this man." He was privileged to hear the Prince of Preachers. He heard the message of saving grace. He heard the word of God, which is able to make us wise unto salvation. He heard the solemnity of the message. For Mark 9 makes it clear that the disciples of Christ were present with him when he spoke those words repeatedly, "Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." Judas was a soul who heard that. He heard the many warnings of a lost eternity, and the scriptures record that Christ spoke more often about hell than he did about heaven. Dear people, Judas was a privileged soul. For 3.5 years, this man was under the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He heard the way of salvation, and yet he was never seen. The work of grace was never done in his heart. The root of the matter was never there. You consider that his experience was also to witness the power of Christ. Not only did he hear the preaching of Christ, but also there were those occasions where the power of God was witnessed by the miracles which he wrought. The blind were made to see, the lepers were cleansed, the lame were enabled to walk. The Savior went about doing good, for God was with him. Judas was one who witnessed the great multitudes being fed with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and following that in the boat, he would witness how the Savior was to calm the very storm and command the sea to be still. Judas witnessed the transforming power of Christ in the lives of those who were saved. The miracle of the new birth and the deliverance was wrought in those who came in contact with Christ. What about the woman who met him at the well? And when the disciples returned from the city, this sinful woman was to be transformed by the power of God, so much so that she went back into her city. She said unto the men, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" And many who went out to see the Lord were themselves to be converted through his word. Judas was privileged to see that omnipotent power of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you something else that he experienced, and that was the patience of Christ toward him. Consider what the scriptures state in verse 18. "I speak none of you all, I know whom I have chosen." And that is not the chosen of God in election. I've stated already that Judas was never saved. Even though he had those privileges, even though these were experiences of good which we have mentioned, he was never chosen of God in grace. He was never given as a gift to Christ. He was never numbered amongst the elect of God, but he was chosen to be numbered amongst the disciples of Christ and those who would be the closest to the Lord during his public ministry. And the reason being is, as you find in the rest of verse 18, where it says, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. And the Lord is there quoting from Psalm 41 and the words of verse 9. Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. And of course the psalmist could speak those words of a friend of his, Ahithophel. Yet these words as spoken by Christ have a deeper and they have a prophetical meaning to them, for they refer to Judas himself. And now the time of that word being fulfilled had arrived, where he would lift up his heel against him. That was why Judas was chosen to be amongst the disciples. For he would be that familiar friend who would lift up his heel against the Christ of God. And what a terrible thing that was. The sense is that he would put his weight on the neck of Christ to seek to bring him down to the dust. On another occasion, the same truth is brought out. You think of Peter, he's a different disciple altogether. He's bold, he's robust. And Peter thought he knew the disciples. He thought he could speak for them on every occasion. And yet the Lord was to speak words which reminded him otherwise. For John chapter 6 in the words of verse 70 it says this. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. The Lord knew all things. He knew all about Judas and what he would do. But yet consider that in all the time that he was with the disciples and all the time that he is with Judas, we never read once that he spake a word of rebuke to him until now in that upper room. Judas had, it is in his heart, what he was going to do. The scriptures are clear as to the sort of character that he was. He was a thief. And the Lord, knowing all these things, we can only say of Judas, here was a man who experienced the great patience and the great tenderness of the Savior. And my dear friend, I wonder, when I bring that all together, wonder, have the experiences of Judas not also been true of you? You are one who has experienced the presence of Christ as the Lord has drew near, as His presence has been known in our meetings, His speaking voice has been heard, and like Judas, you have heard your need and you have heard the way of God's salvation. You too have been warned of that awful place to which the Christ rejecter will be in eternity. I suggest also to you that you've experienced the power of Christ. For His power has been seen in others transformed from a life of sin to a life which pleases God and is walking with Christ. That power of Christ that is able to take a sinner and to make them a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things passed away. Behold, all things become new. And you too have experienced the great mercy and the great patience of Christ. While your life could have been snuffed out a long time ago, out into God's eternity, has not God been merciful to you? Has God not been long-suffering to you? For like Judas, you have been privileged to sit under God's word for a time, and for some it's been a long time. And God has spared you to see the beginning of another new year. And yet tonight, although you sinner have had all these privileges and experiences just like Judas, yet you're still not saved. That has also been your experience, as it was with this man. Let me take a little further. Let me show you his accent. The scene of the 12 disciples along with the Savior reclined before this table was one which was to be interrupted. The exposure of the one who should betray the Lord was to trouble them. It's Peter who desired to know from the Lord who that one would be. It's John, however, who was in the nearest place to the Savior. He is the disciple that is known as the one whose head leaned on his bosom, whom Jesus loved. And it is to John that the words of the Savior's reply are given in verse 26. And I believe if you see that, you understand those verses. Peter wants to know who it is. He conveys a quiet message to John, and John looks up into the face of Christ and he asks him, "Who is it?" And the reply comes back to John there in private in verse 26, "For Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." But I want you to see that even when Christ said those words to Judas, as you find them in the words of verse 27, "That thou doest too quickly," and how they must have been and seemed to be like an arrow of conviction upon his soul, when the Lord said those words in public now, yet the rest of the disciples were still unsuspecting. They didn't know it was him when he arose from that table to leave. Some of them thought that he had to exit the upper room to get some provision for the Passover feast, or indeed to get something to the poor, although he wasn't too good at helping the poor of John 12 and verse 6 as anything to go by. But the exit of Judas is to be noted, as we find it in our text in verse 30. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out. His exit was due to the fact that he was now possessed of the devil. You see the progression of the devil working in this man. In the words of verse 2, it says, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." The love of money was the lure. The temptation from the devil was already planted in his heart. But now you look at verse 27, and it says, "After the sop, Satan entered into him." His heart is now given over to the devil. The devil has total possession, total control of his heart. Judas, for all intents and purposes, is now set to go about his dreadful deed of betraying the Lord, and thereby we read that he went out immediately. His exit also proves to us that he was an apostate. And that's a word, of course, that is bandied about today, and some people don't know the meaning of it. An apostate is one who turns away from the truth. And there, in this man, you see apostate. There dwelt another spirit within him, and that was the spirit of the devil. Consider that here was a man who knew the truth. He even walked with him who is the truth. But yet he was to get up from his place that night. Verse 30 is the moment that Judas turns his back on the Christ of God for the final time. There was no work of grace ever done in his heart. The words of 1 John 2:19 ring true of Judas, as they do of many other people. "They went out from us, but they were not of us." For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Dear soul, understand that when he arose from his place, when he looked the Savior in the eye, and when he was to turn his back and exit that upper room, Judas was proceeding at breakneck speed to hell itself. He was doomed. For his heart was set in going forth to betray the Son of God, and that for 20 pieces of silver. How awful. How terrible for a man to do what Judas did. By the way, that is not my verdict. That is the verdict of the Savior himself. You find it in Mark 14 and verse 21. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Listen to this. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. The woe of heaven is upon yet, dear sinner, I want you to consider that it is possible for one in this meeting to do exactly the same. It would be very wrong for you to think that you could not do what Judas did. It would be a grave error to suggest that your heart is not like the heart of Judas. The Bible reminds us, here is a stark proof of it, if ever you saw it, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That fallen, sinful, and depraved heart of yours is capable of every sin in the book, is capable of sinning against the Lord in the very same spirit as that of Judas, for that heart of yours is rotten. And that's why you need a new heart in salvation. The Lord said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus was a man who went to church. Nicodemus was a religious man. And yet Nicodemus said, our Lord said to Nicodemus, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. You sinner need that heart experience of the new birth. You need to be aware tonight that in you, that is in your flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And God's salvation is not something to be put off. For the Lord has been patient with many a soul, many of you. He's been patient already. And he spared you again to see the light of a new year. And the sad reality is that it is possible for one to get up from their place in this meeting house tonight, having heard the Lord speak to them in mercy, having known his outstretched hand toward them, inviting the sinner to avail of God's so great salvation, it is possible for one to get up and to turn your back on Christ, the only Savior, the only Redeemer, the only way into heaven. It's possible for one soul to get up and to turn your back on Christ for the final time. God's final call. It's possible for one to leave this place, having seen Christ presented in the gospel, and go to hell. That's how crucial this Sabbath evening meeting of 2012, and the first of it, could be to your soul. Oh, you might have plans, preacher, I'll be back next week. You might have plans to be in God's house every Sabbath of this year. Maybe it's even a New Year's resolution that you'll make. My dear friend, loved one, you're not guaranteed another minute. That's how crucial this is. It behoves you therefore to consider what sort of exit
that you're going to make as you leave this meeting house. I trust it's not the same as that of Judas. For that leads me on to show you his eternity. They're just four words that I haven't spoken about in my text tonight. Four words that look so insignificant. But I suggest that they are very much otherwise. These are words behind which lies a great depth. In fact, a depth that reaches to the deepest caverns of the damned. Those words, "And it was night." He then, having received the sop, went immediately out. "And it was night." Judas left that upper room. There was a seasonal darkness when he found himself outside. Darkness of the evening had set, for it was night. These words, I believe, also signify a spiritual darkness. He had turned his back on Christ. He had turned his back on the message of saving grace. And the darkness had descended upon his soul as he sought out the chief priests and as he sought out the elders to make the final arrangements as to how he would betray the Lord into the hands of the soldiers in that garden. And it was night. It was a night of spiritual darkness as far as Judas was concerned. And I tell you, these words are included by the Holy Ghost because they betray a darkness and they betray a night that was eternal. When Judas left the presence of Christ in that room, when he went out into that night, he was already near that eternal darkness of a lost eternity. That eternity was realized after he betrayed the Lord. He had lifted up his heel against the Lord Jesus Christ, and knowing of what he had done, knowing that he was condemned, he sought, if it were possible, to undo it. The love of the money had turned bitter to his soul, and he took those shekels of silver and he threw them in the temple. What happened to Judas? Matthew 27 says that he departed from the temple and he went and he hanged himself. The account that is given in Acts chapter 1 instructs us with more detail that falling headlong he burst asunder in the midst and all his bowels gushed out. It tells us that by transgression Judas fell that he might go to his own place. What a terrible death. Aye, but what a terrible eternity. He went to his own place. And that place is an eternal night. He went to where there is eternal darkness. And now you can see the import of my text. And that was night. His eternity was that outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And my dear loved one, the 1st of January 2012 is still there. He's still in that eternal darkness. And he is awaiting that great and final day in which he shall be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. My dear friend, that is the same hell that awaits you, the Christ rejecter also. If you will not embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you will not come to Him and be saved from your sins, will you come to Him who paid the price for your sin? Paid the price for it in his own body on the tree. He paid that debt that you could never pay. He did so by willingly shedding His own precious atoning blood. You come to the one tonight who paid your hell, who descended into that darkness that you might never go there. For darkness veiled the cross for those hours, and God the Father could not look upon God the Son, and He cried, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? And the Savior descended into the darkness. He paid the hell that all who will call upon Him for salvation deserved and would go to, so that they might never go there. The message of Christ in the gospel is that which calls you out of the darkness of your sin and from such an eternity into God's most marvelous light. Why God calls in mercy, why the Spirit is striving with you in the closing moments of this very service, then, dear loved one, make sure that you turn to Christ in repentance and in faith. Come and be saved. Don't put it off any longer. You know, if you come tonight, you come just as you are, you'll be able to leave this house with the assurance of a different eternity, of that place which is described in Revelation 22 and 5. Just listen to this. And there shall be no night there. Judas went out into the night, a spiritual darkness, an eternal darkness. My friend, heaven, there shall be no night there. And they have no need of candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light. They shall reign forever. Not where you want to be assured of going to. And come this evening. And after he'd taken the sup, he went immediately out. And it was night. And you're going in just a few moments out into the darkness of the night. And oh, dear sinner, make sure that you do so with He who is the light of the world, as your own personal Savior residing in your soul. Saved. Washed in His blood. May God help you. May the Lord bless His word to each heart for His own name's sake. I sing a couple of verses of 238. Let's just sing verses 1 and 3. Passing onward, quickly passing, but I ask thee, whither bound is it to the many mansions where eternal rest is found? 238, let's stand just to sing verse 1 and verse 3.
Thank you.
soul, I trust and pray that you will not trample on the Savior's blood again tonight. You'll come and be saved. We're here afterwards. If you'd like to speak with us, gladly open the Scriptures to you. Point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can get saved where you are. I trust that you will. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank the Lord for the solemnity of it. And O God, we pray that Thou would give deciding grace. Some dear soul that has sat many a time under the preaching of the Gospel, Lord, as the Savior in mercy would strive and speak again, we pray that they would not turn their back. We pray that they would not exit this meeting house trampling under feet the precious Savior's blood. But they will come in repentance and in faith and take Christ as Lord and as Savior. Speak on when the stumbling words of the preacher's voice is heard. We pray the best might yet to be tonight. O God, answer prayer. Do it for Jesus' sake. For it's in His name that we would ask and pray these things.